This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Biggio's in the Marriott Marquis. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Ooh. DJ Quick Nick hitting him on the leadoff spot. I think he learned a valuable lesson last week, and Nick, I'm not mad at you. That's a great start to your hour.
Boy, Nick, you hit him with the fire up front,
it's
man.
It's a classic. Classic. Yeah. That no I doubt enjoyed, about it. And I guess this was high school for me.
Dude, like, you're one song in, and you're the leader in the clubhouse. Joel, on his last song going out, just pissing on people with R. Kelly. And you said there was a story, and I want to know what this story is.
Yeah, that's the main reason why I
picked it. I want to know.
There's a little special meaning in that song.
Okay.
The fact of the matter is I spent my first four years out of college in Portland, Oregon. My best friends in the world are there. They're Hawaiian, and that means that they can drink. And we had there was a really cool spot that was like a bar, and after about 10 o'clock at night, kind of got turned more like a little bit of a club. But there was, shall we say, it was a one-stop shop for plenty of action. And Tanya Harding was from Portland, and she frequented it on a regular basis.
So, like the Nancy Kerrigan,
yep.
Why me,
yep.
Tanya Harding.
Yep.
Sex tape, porn.
That's
probably don't want to watch that, Tanya
that's
Harding.
Something that you're aware of okay. That I might not be. But at the same time, she's from Portland.
Was she ugly in person?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, wasn't exactly going to make any SI covers.
Okay.
But at the same time, too, she... The other odd thing was she would sit in the corner of the bar with a pitcher of beer and a pack of cigarettes by herself. And when she polished off both, then she'd head home.
Just a lonely man in her ice skates.
Yeah.
Pitcher of beer and a pack of cigs?
Yeah, where's Galooly when you need him, right?
No kidding.
So she used to sit at this, and by the time the bar got hopping, she'd end up cutting out. Well, the boys and I would tip, we would known to tip a few back.
Okay.
And they're...
You were alcoholics, you could say.
No, not really that, but they're Hawaiian. That I think that gives you the pass. But
I thought there's just a lot of spam. I didn't know that was...
That too, which a lot of people don't understand, but you're absolutely right.
Okay.
So a couple weeks earlier, the rumor had it that when she left the bar that there was a pickup truck she didn't think was going fast enough. They got to a stop sign. She got into the back of her, not surprising, pickup truck, pulled out a baseball bat, and took it to the car in front of her as basically to make a statement. And since Tanya was, you know, the hometown girl, I think they went a little easy on her. But then after the Kerrigan story came out, she pulled the same thing again. And so... my one friend had a VW Jetta brand new and just put this booming system in it. And we waited for her to take that slow walk of shame from the bar to her pickup truck. And we proceeded to follow her around playing There Ain't Nothing Wrong with a Little Bump and Grind.
Just circling
take
her
pick
in the
between
parking lot.
Nancy Kerrigan and the pickup truck in front of you and everything. Yeah, she wasn't having it.
Wow.
She wasn't too happy with it. But we decided that one trip around the parking lot wasn't enough, that we would do laps.
Did she try to fight anyone?
She tried to squeal the tires and peel off, to which my best friend, who was the best man at my wedding, decided that we could follow her. And I was like, let's just make sure we don't see any authorities along the way. Yeah, and so we followed her for a while.
Uh-huh.
And legend would have it that after she...
Which one of y'all slept with her?
Nope.
What?
No.
Don't lie. Don't
higher
run this story
no,
now.
No, we had higher standards, but I will say this.
Why?
To judge, well, especially with our level of intoxication, because people say, well, how drunk were you?
That's my point.
After that, we got to the drive-thru at a Taco Bell, and my best friend Dave proceeded to tell the drive-thru attendant that he would, like, sift soft-shell tacos, and at that point we were like, why are you even driving the car?
Yeah, he was driving?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, see?
Yeah, so we had to reevaluate the plans to get home.
I really wanted that story to end with one of you guys making out.
No. God, if you saw her in person.
That's what, I mean, you would have the beer goggles.
I wouldn't kiss her
so
with your mouth.
She would probably, what?
I wouldn't kiss her with your mouth if I was mad at you. I'm telling you.
She would probably look like Nancy Kerrigan after, you know, a couple pitchers of beer.
Oh, boy.
Really? Like, you couldn't even drink Tanya Harding cute?
No.
Well, you didn't do it right then.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Wow.
I don't. Well, either that.
That Portland beer is weak.
Either that or God didn't do it right, because I'm just telling you, one way or another, no. Nah,
that Portland beer must be
that's
weak.
That's third and long, baby. We're passing, because we weren't drinking beer. All right, so we got that story out of the way. Nick got his first song out there on Way Back Wednesday, so we're rolling along. Craig Biggio is in the house now here at Biggio's, so he'll be joining us along the way in the final hour of the show. But two in the books, one to go. Plenty more show. We've had some callers waiting a long time, so before we get off the Romo topic and proceed on, Nick, it's Mario that's still waiting?
Yep.
Mario, what's up? Get you in here. Mario, you there?
Yeah, I'm there. I just want to finish the topic on Tony Romo. I don't think he's good enough to go to six. He might be wasting his time there, but I'll just hang up and listen.
Okay, so I believe that
I don't know what the hell Mario said. I have no idea what the – dude, you waited for 20 minutes and no one understood a word you said.
And he hung up, too.
And he hung up. He's like, click. What?
No, he's I hang up and listen.
What the hell?
Then click.
Yeah. No, Mario, text, man. I want to hear what you had to say, but that didn't work well. This is why we shouldn't do calls on remotes. That was hard to hear.
It was tough to hear, for sure.
Yeah, I don't know what he said. I'm sure it was insightful. I'm sure it was good. It had to have been good if he waited. Damn, now I feel bad.
I think he just basically said he wanted to vent and that he just didn't think Romo was good enough.
Chest.
Yeah, from what I could tell. Is that close, Nick?
I had no idea. He sounded like he was like
– Nick, you're not – are you listening to the show?
Nick was out basking in the glory of having a great leadoff song.
Yeah, everyone's just like, oh, Nick is no lower than second place. Shut up. Whatever. But, Nick, are you even listening to the show? I know you're producing it.
Dude, I had him potted up all the way up. I could not make out one single word he was saying. Honestly, I thought it was Trey. I'm not even lying.
Long-time producer, first-time listener. Glad you could be along for the ride.
All right, so let's reshuffle the deck a little bit. We know the Rockets are playing the Jazz tonight in a bigger game than most people would look at first glance. Just in case you haven't looked in the rearview mirror lately, the four seed in the Western Conference is the Utah Jazz. They are in town. This one should decide the season series, right, Barry? And they're only playing
three
this year.
I did verify after you asked that. I was like, you know what? He might be right. But looking at the Rockets' schedule, this is the last game with Utah, so winner gets the tiebreak.
So they're one of two teams in the West that you don't play four times this year. You play them three. So it's an even bigger game should it come to rest where there's a 4-5 matchup between the Rockets and the Jazz. They are four games in the loss column behind your Rockets heading into the game tonight. So a big game in a lot of ways. And the Rockets want to erase the memory of a tough loss to the Spurs in San Antonio the other night, too. So we'll see. We've already been receiving word. Ryan Anderson out tonight, will not start. Eric Gordon will start in his place. However, the surprising news in all this is that the Rockets are saying James Harden will guard the power forward tonight.
That's
in the starting lineup, and I think that just might be an experiment they might want to rethink, because when your best player is carrying that load and exuding that much energy just to try and make sure he keeps you in it offensively, he's not the greatest defender in the world, but he's definitely going to get worn down if you're going to try and make him play in the post and play big against a front line that features Rudy Gobert, Derek Favors, and others.
No doubt.
Right?
I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
Did you watch the Thunder game last night?
I watched parts of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would Westbrook score 58?
58, career high.
And they lost.
Yep.
Fourth game in a row. Mm-hmm. They now sit in seventh place.
Yep.
In the West.
Yep. I saw your tweet.
Game behind the Grizzlies. I think I'm ready to – I'm with Nick on this now. I think I'm ready to move Kawhi up a spot after a four-game losing streak down the stretch when it matters. He puts up 58 and they still lose. How valuable can you be?
Where are you putting Kawhi? One or two?
Two.
Two behind James.
I'm still going James Harden. Because I still think if Kawhi isn't on the Spurs, they still are a top four team in the West. I still believe that. But I think if you take James Harden away from the Rockets, who creates all those open looks for them? Who runs the pick and roll? So I still have Harden first, but now I got to move Kawhi second. And I know Westbrook is putting up crazy numbers, but if they're not translating into wins, what good is it?
So I'll tell you what good it is.
Okay.
It gets back to what I said is going to be, because we've all been in agreement, and you and I have been leading the leaders in the clubhouse saying James Harden's the MVP of this league. And what he's done on any given season in the last 10, 15 years should qualify him as the leader in the clubhouse for the MVP. But I'll go back to what I've said all along that could be that X factor, which is if Westbrook, and again,
I know what you're going to say.
But if he averages a triple-double and the attention in the media that he gets, it's going to sway voters and it's going to factor in. And I have back.
Okay.
I don't want to steal your thumb around numbers, but I'm going to give you some backup on that because of the fact that we have said over and over again, until there's clear-cut criteria and it's transparent so that we all know what you have to base your vote on and who you're voting for, people have different factors, as we've seen with T.O. in the MVP voting. I mean, in Hall of Fame voting and MVP voting and such. But I'll say this. Last week, Sprewell and KG were asked who they thought was the MVP, and they flat out said, they both said Westbrook. That started to worry me. Then Kawhi Leonard does what he does and has a big game in a big situation against James Harden. He starts getting more attention. The attention and the media hype is going to play into this. Case in point, HoopsRumors.com, who has some pretty credible writers, took a poll.
Name one.
Okay, I can name a couple for you.
Okay.
I have to go back to the start of the
All
page.
Right, no, my bad. I messed up your phone.
There's a lot of ex-NBA. I think it's not Chris Broussard, but there's. I'll look it up for you. But there's several guys, and they're on
his cousin, Christopher.
Yeah, and he says, LeBron. No, okay. So they took a poll. They're on the beat. They're constantly covering the NBA. They took a poll. 2,000 people have already chimed in, but they said, who's your MVP? In order, Russell Westbrook still leader in the clubhouse at 29%.
Don't care.
Second.
They're wrong.
Kawhi Leonard.
They're wrong.
21%.
This is a garbage
third,
website.
James Harden at 20%.
This is a garbage website. Who voted on this? Are these people, do they even watch basketball?
They just
basketball?
Asked on their website, I mean on the
Oh,
on the
what? Poll. They just, that's just a popularity contest by fans. Okay.
Okay, but I'm just saying, overall, when you look at this and you say, what are people thinking, you've been saying
the triple-double thing
all
along.
It's going to factor
but
in.
But here's the thing. You put the caveat on it because you say, yeah, I think Harden should win it because you say you think he's the MVP.
I do.
But you keep saying that Westbrook would win it. So let's leave that out because that doesn't – I'm saying who is your
I'm
MVP?
I'm saying I'm worried
One,
about
two,
the fact
three
that
right now.
That's going to but factor in.
That's fine, but I want to know who's your 1-2-3, not what you think people are going to vote. Who would you vote for?
1-2-3 right now, I go Harden, I go Westbrook, and then I go Kawhi.
Okay. I think after you saw what Kawhi did, the fact that the Spurs have been two all year, they're not fading, and you know what he did head up against Harden was impressive. And I know it's one game.
But I agree
with
you.
But the fact that also, combined with that, and the fact that they're still winning, and now Westbrook is on this four-game slide, and this is coming down the home stretch.
But you take...
That's not good.
I think you take Westbrook off the Thunder, they're a lottery team.
To me, it's like the power rankings. You know what I mean? It's always going to fluctuate until the end, but I think right now, I've moved it. Now, if they go on a five-game winning streak and the Spurs start to stumble, then great. Let's switch those guys. But right now, as of this week and the way things are going, I got to move Kawhi up to two. What were you going to say? I'm sorry, I cut you off.
No, I was going to say, I think that the key here is you take Westbrook off the Thunder, they're a lottery team. Yep. I think you take Harden off the Rockets, and I know people aren't going to like to hear this, but I think they might be a lottery team.
Yeah, or the 8 seed,
and I
maybe.
Think you're right. I think you take Kawhi off the Spurs, and they're still a playoff team. So I think that should factor in as well.
I totally agree.
So you might
That's
not be
was,
a top 4 seed
the
in the Thunder, but
Nick.
What I'm saying, but Westbrook is carrying them enough to at least put them in the picture to be a playoff team, whereas without him... Boy, there's a lot of role players and not one guy that can even get the keys to drive that bus.
Yeah.
All right, let us know what you think. Chime in, 713-780-ESPN. Hit us up on Twitter. Craig Biggio's in the house. We are at Biggio's here in the beautiful Marriott Marquis right here at Discovery Green, kitty corner from GRB. He'll join us around 3:30. We would love to see you guys down here. And then after us, Fred, AJ, and the Blitz will also be here and be here till 7. So stop on down after work. Great happy hour going on. Great food selection. We'd love to see you here at Biggio's in the Marriott Marquis. Otherwise, thanks for being a part of the show on ESPN 97.5.
This is AJ Boyer, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
That's all the person I need to know about this show.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Biggio's in the Marriott Marquis. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Nick should be a professional politician.
Why?
Because he knows exactly who he's playing to.
Yeah.
And he knows exactly how to get to the heartstrings
when
he taps into
the
H-town.
Well, I got third place last time.
Let's be real. Final countdown wasn't that damn strong.
I would go with that, though. I would agree with that.
That's why it was one of my outros. You guys didn't really pay attention to it.
But I see what you're doing, Nick. You're trying to include everyone and not just play hip-hop and R&B like Joel does. You're trying to expand this to include rock and roll fans, right? Like,
yeah, I try to mix it up.
We need to put some pop music in there. Like, I had on my original list, I had country. I had an OG country song on
but
there.
But instead, you threw all your eggs in one basket and went with the heartstrings.
Threw all my ovaries in one basket.
Of the minority of all minorities of our audience. Yeah. I hope that that would push you through.
I threw all my ovaries in one basket. That is a fact.
I am now officially going to nickname you Hillary.
It's fine. Do what you got to.
All right, hey, one of the NBA stories we haven't got to yet, and that's our bad, but we should have, and it's something to touch on because not many people have been able to do it, but Dirk Nowitzki last night goes over the 30,000-point mark in NBA history, and very fittingly, he did it almost with the Dirk step-back, one-footed fadeaway.
Which made me nauseous.
It was borderline one-footed. Ugh. But at the same time, it was just vintage.
It was an old man one-footed where it was 1 foot and a heel.
May have been able to slide paper underneath his shoe when he left the floor, but not for long.
Definitely got that Larry Bird lift. Definitely.
Yeah. But 30,000. Yeah, but the other thing too, Mark Cuban just over the top.
Jesus, Cuban,
with
get
the
out of
the huggies
shot.
And the cryings and the stop it already.
He was crying? I didn't know crying.
Yeah, he was trying to force him out, but right when Dirk came off the floor, it was like, I love you, man.
He was probably thinking about all the money he's made off of Dirk's back.
Heck yeah, he was.
Crying like, oh God, you've made me so rich. This is beautiful.
Got him a championship too.
Yeah.
So
Dirk good for him. Never been a fan. I know that he's, you know, first ballot Hall of Famer, you know, great NBA player. Growing up a Rockets fan, watching that dude play, he always struck me as a bit dirty.
Did he?
Yeah. Yeah, he did. I'm not going to lie. I always thought Dirk was a little dirty.
Talks a lot of crap, but I never thought he was dirty.
He does. And yeah, I don't know. I good for him, but I can't say I'm happy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know.
There's now 6 30,000-point scorers in NBA history.
3 Lakers.
Yeah. I could say, can you name them, but they're pretty obvious.
Yeah.
So Kareem, followed by Karl Malone, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, Wilt Chamberlain, and Dirk. Malone, Bryant, and Nowitzki, who plans to play at least one more season, are the only players to score at least 30,000 points for one franchise.
I saw a hilarious meme where somebody posted, it said Dirk Nowitzki is the greatest foreign-born player of all time, and then it just ended, and it had a picture of Olajuwon going, huh?
Yeah, wait a minute.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you want to entertain yourself a little bit, go back and take a look at draft press conference photos of Dirk and Steve Nash.
Backstreet Boy.
No question about it. They are definitely boy banders. They had the bleached blonde.
Middle part.
Oh, yeah.
Waves over both sides. Earrings, the dangled earrings. Like, they're rocking the Barry Bonds. Which,
like Scott
by the
Deer
way,
Park.
He really has to let that go. Yeah. Does Scott have
Scott
one?
Deer
I
Park
didn't meet
still,
Scott. I don't
Scott
know.
Deer Park still wears the dangler.
Well, Scott, I guess.
Don't, because he claims to have taken down Trey. He'll come for you next.
No, that wasn't Scott.
Scott in Deer Park, absolutely it was. Scott was so mad at the performance that Dre put up that he got into a undercard immediately following
attacked
poor Trey.
I missed this.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm not too scared of battling wits with Scott in Deer Park. I'll just say that. Now, fighting, yeah, that's a big boy.
Yeah, he's a big man.
He's a former offensive lineman. He would definitely whip my ass, but not in a verbal argument.
No.
I played
some college football, too.
I feel safe. That's what I said.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He played at U of H, correct?
Yeah, that's right. I'm pretty sure.
I think it was the 3 Cotton Bowls that he played there. Or 2 Cotton Bowls. 2 Cotton Bowls.
Wow.
Cotton Balls or Cotton Bowls? just checking, Nick.
Bowls of ice cream? 3 bowls of ice cream. What?
What?
All right.
He can't post-surgery. Dre says, Nick, you got the win. He said,
yep.
Want to be a baller, in his mind, pushed you over the top.
Yeah.
So that, and we'll see who else votes. But for right now, Nick, you look like you're 1. I'm 2. Barry's 5. So we got that.
Somebody said, talking smack on that dude, Dirk. I thought I liked you, Barry. What? Like,
if you're a Houston fan, don't you immediately just hate everything Dallas, including Dirk?
Dirk is like this era's John Stockton to me. He really is. Like, I dislike that dude as much as I dislike Stockton and Malone. Okay. That makes more sense
because of the rivalries.
Yes.
Because, like I said, if you're in Houston, everything Dallas, you don't like Mark Cuban. You don't like the Mavs winning the title. You don't like Dirk Nowitzki. It just seems to all be
I do like Dallas parallel. Women, though. They've got some beautiful
Not
women.
Not going to argue that point.
In Dallas.
Yeah.
And their city seems so much more cleaner and more, like, advanced tech. I mean, they've got, like, you go to Dallas and you look at their billboards, and there's this, like, they have electronic billboards everywhere. They've got full scenes, like waterfalls on their billboards. Like, we don't have that here. We've got these old raggedy, plain Jane, broke-ass city billboards.
I'm just looking at the time, thinking
how much hate
you're going to get in the final half hour.
I don't care. I'm a native Houstonian. I have earned the right to be able to talk trash about the city I live in if I want to.
No, I'm not disagreeing.
You can't because you moved here.
I did move here.
Yeah, so you can't. You can't say anything. It's like the.
Oh, I still can.
It's like, well, we'll cut you.
Well, see. That's fine.
It's like the only, you know, I'm the only one that can pick up my big brother type thing.
Crash Band-Aids do more than prevent nipple chafing. I'm just telling you.
I mean, it's like, I think if you were born here, you have the right to criticize the city you live in. And this city is not clean. Am I wrong? Is this a clean city to
you? It has been criticized for that. I think it's a lot cleaner than it's been when I first got here 23 years ago.
I'll say this. When you arrive in Intercontinental and you drive out, it looks nice. But as soon as you get about a minute and a half, either way, outside of there, not so pretty anymore.
Man, I remember when I interviewed here.
Yeah?
I remember I was so terrified of what this city really had when all you saw leaving Intercontinental was just cement and, like, junkyards and things. And I was like, ugh. I think it's gotten a lot better from that perspective. But obviously, when I was living in Portland, coming here and not seeing trees and green. That's a different – and then no zoning. So you've got
– Oh, yeah, that's the problem.
High-rises popping up everywhere. Now, I know you're going to get it.
First one. This is also the issue. Someone just texted, it would be cleaner once we build that wall. Jesus. What is wrong with people? I know they're joking.
You got others getting ready to chime
in. Yeah. They're already funneling it. I don't care.
All right. We are at Biggio's in the beautiful Marriott Marquis right here in Discovery Green, kitty corner to the GRB. We'll be here till 4 o'clock. Then we turn it over to Fred and AJ. He'll take it till 7 with the Blitz. It is a fantastic sports bar. If you haven't figured out where you're going to play hooky during March Madness to watch basketball games, I would suggest you put this on your list because these screens behind us, 130 inches with leather recliners where you can kick back and watch it. If you plan on just taking your lunch hour, yeah. Yeah. Don't be so sure.
This cat over here
you
is supposed
to be
working.
You can take a half day on this bad boy.
He's
because
sleeping.
Yeah. You're going to get some good grub, quality sports action, and a nap all in the same afternoon. All right. We'll be here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. If you give a cowboy. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Biggio's in the Marriott Marquis. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, you're listening to the sultry sounds of Cody Johnson. That's right, it's rodeo time, Houston, and Cody is performing live tonight for just $18. You can have a great night full of live music, rodeo action, shopping, food, and, of course, the carnival for the kids. Buy your tickets at rodeo.com.
You had me at food.
That's not shocking, but you're dieting, so you can't do your normal funnel cake.
That's why you had me at food.
Fried Twinkie.
Funnel cake.
Yeah.
They look good, but...
Yeah, but, ugh, yeah. That's a gut bomb.
Yeah, that's a week to get that off.
No question.
At least.
Well, you've heard his voice. You need to know... He needs no introduction, but the man has his name on the marquee and all over this place, but what a great place it is. We've been broadcasting live all day for the grand opening of Biggio Sports Bar in the beautiful Marriott Marquis here across from Discovery Green. We were here for the Super Bowl as well for the soft grand opening, but Craig Biggio joins us now, the Hall of Famer, the legendary Astro. We appreciate you spending some time, but how proud are you of this? This is a great venue.
It's pretty it's a beautiful place. I mean, it's really something that's you know, I met with Steven and Ira probably close to a year ago. They were just telling me about the area and the location of it and everything like that. And I was more excited about the area, just revitalizing the area down here than anything else. And then when they asked about getting involved with this, it was kind of like, wow, this is a pretty exciting time down here. Because this whole area has changed now. This whole area is really, we came in to Minute Maid over there in 2000. And it's been a slow, gradual process. But now you look at this area, you look at the way the Super Bowl went, this is the place to be. And it's young and it's fun. And it's kind of crazy, but yeah, I got my name outside, and it's fun, and I'm glad that I really just want people to come and enjoy it, have a good time, and have some good food, a couple beverages, taking some games.
We were telling everybody, March Madness right around the corner. If you're looking for a place to play hooky, and you got these 230-inch screens, yeah.
Dude,
you got these leather recliners.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I said, don't think you're just taking your lunch hour. You're taking a half day, because this is a great spot.
Now, I said when we first started the show that I was fairly certain that you had some heavy input on the food. Were you like, no, I want this on the menu, I want that? You strike me as a guy would be like, no, we got to do this right with the food.
I haven't, a little bit, but you know what? There's people that are smarter than I am, and let them make their decisions. So we're going to add a couple things. The menu is, they started off with a little smaller menu, and now we're starting to expand it sometime this week, and we're going to have a Biggio special sandwich on there. I'm not going to say what it is, but I tasted it today.
Okay.
It was,
it's not a slider, is it?
No, it's something that you probably haven't had before, but it's a sandwich type with a steak. And I think you're going to like it. So the chef made one up today,
and
it was pretty good. I got to say, it was really good. Yeah. So
I had the buffalo chili.
Excellent. Right.
That's
what I had the first time I was here. And the tacos are really incredible. And then you got to have a pretzel.
Without question.
I got to get one of those before I go.
It's a giant thing. It's just massive.
Is it? Oh. Yeah.
And it's hard to stop. That's the problem.
Yeah. Speaking of the menu, when do we get the snack stand built in the corner where
H-E-B hot dogs.
H-E-B,
burgers. And
I don't know. I got to ask Scott. He's going to come tonight. So
is that
we'll
right?
see him tonight.
Oh.
Yeah, so I'll have to ask him about that.
Right.
Yeah.
So the soft opening was Super Bowl, and that was great. Mm-hmm. But you and I were talking in the break. We had the mayor on during one of the parties Thursday night, and we said, you talk about a transformation. Because I remember going to baseball games, and you were worried about everything from where you're parking your car to the whole area down here. And now with the Toyota Center, with Minute Maid, and it was always that area in between. And I think Super Bowl was the solidifier that said, now you've got an entire environment that just begs for people to come out and hang out. And with your sports bar right here in the middle of it, it just made perfect sense.
It's the Super Bowl was a home run right there. It was just something that the city of Houston has got, and it's everybody, it's so much to be proud of from the standpoint of you think about. I mean, there's so many restaurants we can eat here. There's so many places you can stay, and this area was hopping and it was it. And, I think we're definitely going to get another Super Bowl again because of the success that we had with it. I mean, it just flowed too perfectly. And like you were saying earlier, I think we learned a little bit from the first Super Bowl we had. But this one here was definitely a home run. And hopefully, we get on that circuit sometime soon.
Any plans to expand once this one takes off? You're going to move out to take over the whole landscape?
No. Somebody asked me that question earlier. Is there going to be a two or three?
Yeah.
I just want to worry about one first. So then we'll go from there. But like I said, I really just want people to come and have a good time and enjoy it. It's gone over really well. I mean, you have your own expectations coming in, but it's we're only 3 months into it. This is the first little tiny break that the staff has had all year so far to kind of get caught up and regroup here. Now we got the baseball season coming up. The Rockets are going to be in the playoffs, so we're going to right back at it again. So it's been exciting.
I was going to say the perfect storm because of the fact that you're in a hotel. You've got another hotel a couple hundred yards away. You've got the GRB to your left, and you've got all the downtown crowd that's looking for a place after work to grab a drink and grab a sandwich. And on top of all that, the teams are playing well that are bookending you. The Rockets are playing well, as you mentioned, and this team behind us is set up for a great season, and you know that very well, the Astros. Want to get into that a little bit with you and just talk about some of the moves the team made in the offseason and what they did to kind of improve some of the few holes that they had to try and make this run.
Well, I think that Jim has always been committed to winning, and it was a process to get here. And then we've drafted really well, we've developed really well. Whenever you have an Altuve and you have a Correa and you know, you've got a good nucleus there, and then you start putting a supporting cast together, and you start adding a McCann and a Beltran. It's something that we had young kids who were trying to be leaders. Now you have older guys that have been through the wars and the fires a little bit. Now they can lead and see how it's really supposed to be done. And you have a George Springer, and you know, it's our team is really built now to sustain success. You may lose a couple pieces here and there, but I kind of look at it as very similar. Like when Baggy and I were together, as you know, we were here for a long time together. A couple pieces come, a couple pieces go, but you had the bodies here to be good and be good for a while. So I got Rick. You know, Jeff has done a really nice job, and you know, for this year here coming up, it's really something for us to you know, just pray for health. You know, yeah. That's what every team does. You look at the dot. Every single team. It's like, if we stay healthy, we're gonna have a chance. And you know, you're gonna have some guys that get hurt, which is gonna give an opportunity for some other guys to come up and play. But in general, I mean, that's just if you stay healthy, it should be an interesting season for us.
How much did the additions of Brian McCann and Carlos Beltran mean to this team from a leadership standpoint?
Well, I think it's a huge thing. It's you know, our guys have you know, it's when you can talk about it is one thing, but you know, when now all of a sudden you have a guy like those two guys individual wise, they've been through the wars before. You know, Brian's been through it with Atlanta. You know, he was a kid when I was older playing against him, right? And Carlos was a teammate, and Carlos has gone on, and Carlos is, you know, moving up on 3,000 hits. And you know, it's just there's something to be said about having that leadership being around, that a veteran leadership that they can see how it's supposed to be done. You can see how hard these guys are working. You can talk about it, but then when you watch a guy that's 38 years old taking extra BP, taking extra fly balls, and doing all the little things that say, this is why this guy is special, this is why he's great. You're a young kid, you're going to do that anyway. You can talk about it. But then when you see somebody that's been – it's going to be possibly a Hall of Fame guy doing it, you know, and then you go, wow, man, I guess I'll work a little harder. You get a little motivated. So, and that's always been the theme here. You know, even with Jeff and I, it was like we were workers. You know, we went out, we worked hard, and if you didn't get on the plan, then it wasn't going to work out for you. So just do what you're supposed to do. And that's what that leadership brings. And having those two guys like that is going to be really very beneficial.
And we're running short on time, but we do just – I know you've been asked this a lot, but just recap for us how – great of a feeling it was for you to see your partner in crime, to see Jeff get in, and to see that honor and that finally get him over the top to get him into the Hall.
Yeah, it was what a special day it was, just from the standpoint of, I mean, it, you know, he's in, and that's all that matters now. And you know, for two guys that have dedicated ourselves to a city and a community and an organization and a team, to get in, you know, he and I, we just love playing a game. We were two East Coast kids that came here to Texas, didn't know nothing about Texas, right? And then all of a sudden it was a big Astrodome. So everything was big in Texas. And then all of a sudden we kept playing and playing and winning and winning. And that's all we ever wanted to do, was get to the World Series. And then for the, you know, two guys that the first Texas team ever get there, and to be side by side for 15 years and to be able to get there finally was something that was beyond words. And for him to get into the Hall of Fame, you know, we're going to be joined together forever now. And that's pretty cool.
I mean,
that's, you know, the two guys you mentioned a lot here in Houston, you know, he and I, and to be able for him to be in there, I'm really looking forward to him going up and enjoying it and getting his due.
You guys kick back, though, and say, you look at that dome and say, man, if I played in Minute Maid, those numbers could have been inflated a little bit more.
You have no idea. I tell some of these kids, you guys are moving in the fences. I mean,
yeah.
You know how far the Astrodome was? Oh. I mean, the 1 year Bob Watson, he took it and used to have to hit it above the catwalk.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like a 430-foot fly ball to left field you had to hit.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Who's the next Astro to make it to the Hall of Fame?
Listen, I want these guys just to go and have fun and enjoy it and play and don't worry about any of that stuff. If you play long enough, you start getting close enough, you know, it gets interesting. You know, like Carlos will be a guy that, you know, his numbers are going to start. He's in that conversation, right? Mm-hmm. But you look at the Hall of Fame in general. The Baseball Hall of Fame is so hard to get into. It's crazy. I mean, think about it. Look
really
at Baggy's numbers, and it took him, what, 7 years or whatever it was, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you had 3,000 hits. It took you 3 years to get in. And it's kind of like it's so hard to get into, man. And that's why I think it's so special. The baseball one is the hardest one. And you look at the docket now. It's like crazy.
I was going to say, as numbers go, 300 wins in, from a pitching perspective, 3,000 hits, that's not going to be – that's going to be so uncommon because of the fact that they're you know, they're taking care of kids longer. They're nursing them through. And those are numbers that we used to see kind of, not say readily, but we saw them every so often frequently. You're not going to see those anymore.
No, it's you know, or the money might just, you know, say guys are out of the game. I don't feel like doing this anymore, making the commitment or the sacrifice, and they make enough and they just go home. But, you know, but in general, though, I mean, there's guys falling off the docket that were studs. you know,
no question.
And then they're falling, and you're like, wow, the docket is just loaded, man. This is crazy right now. Thinking
now,
about it.
I once read somewhere you write left handed, you bat and throw right handed. How did that happen?
The only thing I do right handed is really throw a baseball and I hit.
Yeah.
And everything else is left handed. I shoot a gun, I shoot a bow, I write. Everything. I don't know what happened, man. Something got crossed in my body. I probably should have been a left handed hitter.
Yeah.
I mean, I tried it in college. I tried to switch it in college in the fall of my sophomore year. And I faced Pete Harnish, who was a teammate here for a little while. Yeah, he was at Fordham. And he struck me out like three times. He just threw a fastball away, and I couldn't hit it. But if you threw it middle in, I could hit it and run. And I mean, really, three steps closer at first, that would have been really fun.
Yeah.
I mean, might have had like 3,500
hits. Beat
him up
for more hits, yep.
But if you could hit the outside corner, being a left-handed hitter. So I don't know what happened, man. It's just kind of weird. It's just kind of like – and my brother's the totally opposite. He throws lefty, hit lefty, but does everything else righty.
Wow. Strange. I'll tell you what, it's one thing to make the Hall of Fame, but it's another thing to have your name on a restaurant in a bar like this. So
cool.
You can make the Hall of Fame if you're an Astro coming up, but it's going to take a long time to try and get your name on a restaurant in Houston like this. Craig, we appreciate it.
Thank you so much for spending some time with us. Appreciate it.
Happy to be here.
You got it.
So we are here. That's Craig Biggio. We are at Biggio's in the beautiful Marriott Marquis across from beautiful Discovery Green. Kitty Corner from the GRB grand opening is tonight. Please make sure that you work it into your work week and your recreational plans. It is a fantastic place with 2 130-foot screens behind us where you can watch March Madness and more.
And 60-something other televisions.
60-some other televisions. 60-some. That's right. And I'm sure if you need a few more, Craig will make sure that they find one for you.
We'll work it out for you, find a wall.
As they get more into the developmental stages of the park. But we are here until 4, then we turn it over to Fred and AJ and the Blitz until 7. So please stop down if you can. We're ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Biggio's in the Marriott Marquis. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Barry, Nick, and Joel till 4. That was really cool. Craig Biggio himself joining us was really neat.
You know, after Radio Row, after having done radio for 4 years and all the interviews, I got to say I don't like fanboy out much.
Mm-hmm.
But having, one, I'm a huge baseball guy, and two, I was an Astros. I've been an Astros fan my entire life. That was pretty cool. That's got to go up there, just getting to interview Craig Biggio. That was pretty slick.
But
not
just
gonna
a really
lie.
Good guy, too.
He is. Super nice guy.
Super nice, personable, even off the air, you know, talking about other things and talking about not only just, you know.
I told him you like the Brewers, and then he was like, oh, never mind. I don't want to talk to this guy anymore.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. I told him a lot of things about you that I can't say on the air.
It's all right.
Before we get out of here, because Fred and AJ are here, and they're going to take over next with the Blitz, I want to make sure I tell you guys about the Houston Cans Cars for Kids program. It's a fantastic program. It is basically run by you, the people out there who just basically looked around their house, their field, their garage, their yard. They got some stuff they want to get rid of, and one of it might be a clunker. It might be an old car running or not, a truck, a motorcycle, a boat, or RV. All you got to do is pick up the phone. You call the people at Houston Cans Cars for Kids program, 713-225-4226 or HoustonCarsForKids.com. Tell them what you got. Hang up the phone, and they do the rest. They come out, they do all the paperwork, they bring a tow truck, they take it away, and the best thing is, especially around tax time, you get a great tax deduction. And just for mentioning ESPN 97.5 right off the top, you get a $50 gift card. What happens after that is why it's really special. Once they get your vehicle and they get it back, they turn that into resources so that kids looking to get a second chance at an education have the extracurricular things taken care of, whether it be book money, eyeglasses, bus fare, warm meals, things they need so they can just concentrate on their books and not where they're going to get their next meal. It's all taken care of. It's the Houston Cans Cars for Kids program. It's a fantastic program. It is really successful because of you guys. So please, as always, right off the car. Not the kid.
Hey, I got to bring this up because I was just looking at HoustonSportsAndStuff.com because
Fred does it?
Yeah, well, I'm writing for him now on Thursdays.
I saw that.
I'll be doing
you
the
host
article.
A show on there, I think it says, too.
I will be. Yeah, Holly and I will be. He talked about here?
Yeah.
Yeah. But he posted on there that Vince Young to the CFL's writers might be a win-win. So apparently he's finalizing.
They said he
a
was
going
to make a decision this week.
Yeah, but he's finalizing a deal with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, according to HoustonSportsAndStuff.com. So
that's not fitting, is it?
What are you watching with bated breath to see what Vince Young does?
Nope.
Yeah, me
no.
neither.
But very fitting that a guy that's had a pretty rough ride through his career is going to the Rough Riders. Yeah. And if he's not careful, it might be another rough ride.
That
if you
is
know
pretty
what I mean.
On point. That is yeah.
So without
if there was like a Canadian team like the I don't know like the Victoria Sucks, that would also be pretty good for him to go to. Pretty fitting.
Yeah, okay.
That's hitting a little hard for the UT fan.
A little bit.
Really?
Well, but you know what? Here's the thing, though. If you're think about this too, he was getting paid six figures by the university in some cushy job to basically shake hands and kiss babies, and now he wants to go back and take one more shot.
Got to do it while you're young.
Think they're going to keep that door open for him to return back there?
Yeah. I think the returns are in. Speaking of, Nick won today.
I think you're right.
Nick, you got second, and I came in last place.
Fifth.
But you know what? Yeah, I came in fifth out of three. But I don't care. I did it for the ladies. It was all for the ladies. Oh, look at all the cops. All that's for Biggio, I bet. There's like tons of cops.
You really think that Craig Biggio needs a police escort?
Yeah, totally. Around this city, you're damn right. He's very presidential.
I think he needs a pickup truck in the city, and he's fine. I'm just saying. All right, we've had a lot of fun. A great venue. Like I said, if you don't have plans over March Madness, you're in the downtown area, Discovery Green, you want to get away and watch some games, this is the place to be. It's Biggio's in the Marriott Marquis, the beautiful new hotel that opened up right before Super Bowl, kitty corner to the GRB, across the street from Discovery Green. It has been fun being here today, and it does not stop here, because next, the Blitz, Fred, AJ, and John back in the studio will take you home till 7 o'clock. But again, if you have no plans tonight, stop by. It's the grand opening. Craig's here. Lots of food and beverages to be had, and still lots of sports to be seen. 60-some TV screens, he said, including the two Whoppers at 130 inches behind us. So make it a part of your work week getaway. We'll take a quick break. Then Fred and AJ are next with the Blitz. For Barry, for Nick, I'm Joel. Take care. We'll see you tomorrow. ESPN 97.5. Hey,
hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.